All right, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 10 this morning. We're going to cover, we're going to be in a lot of places this morning, but Romans 10 is the heartbeat of our passage this morning. Romans 10, 8 through 17. And you might notice in the video that you saw a lot of the kids are wearing these shirts. We made these shirts that have these feet on them, and it said, "Oh, how beautiful." And it comes from this passage in Romans 10, 15, "Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so we'll start in Romans 8. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." I want you to imagine with me for a second this scene. Throw yourself back. If you watch The Chosen, you can throw yourself back into one of those roads, these dusty, dirty roads. You can see the cinematography of this guy's, just his feet, his sandals running, the dirt being kicked up, sweat dripping down the legs, causing maybe mud and grossness on his feet. And he's bringing a message. And in ancient times, this is how it worked. A messenger would come, and it had great anticipation. What is the message that is being brought? Is it of news of victory, peace, impending peril? Is it good news or is it bad news? And as the news came, it would be anticipated. Today, though, we have message overload. Every app, every email, every text message, turn-by-turn instructions on our navigation, we have message overload hitting us in every way. Message overload to the point where, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, this happened to me a lot, is, you know, you feel that, ooh, something's buzzing in my pocket. It must be a message. My pockets are empty. We get these phantom vibrations in our pockets and on our wrists, telling us something must be happening. Am I dying? Like, why is my body vibrating? And so, through all the mess of the messages, the apps, the emails, the texts, the phone calls, there's only one message that remains timeless and transformative. It's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we allow ourselves to be slaves to the notification today. I talk to our students sometimes, you know, they have this thing called, I think it's called Chat Snap or Snappity Chappity. No, I'm just kidding. That was me trying to like act like I was old and didn't know, but I know, Snappity Chappity. And I see Sylvie's phone. I'm calling Sylvie out. She knows, she's laughing. 422 missed messages or something. I'm like, your phone is just like going like, hey, wake up. Look at me. And we are a slave to the notification. We are a slave to that. And we should have freedom in Christ. And we're a slave to this notification, but yet the one message that is the most important message in the world, sometimes we don't think about how we should be notifying others of the message of the gospel of Christ. But we ourselves are checking our phones. You know, if you want to do something alarming to yourself. Look at your screen time on your phone if it has it. You know, I know on the iPhones it has it. It also has this thing where it tells you how many times you pick it up during the day. Oh, brother. Yeah. You're like, why did I pick up my phone 62 times this hour? Like, how is that even possible? And so we should look at those things. So that's kind of where we find the context of Romans chapter 10. Paul is deeply concerned for his fellow Jews, longing for them to recognize the truth that Jesus is the true Messiah. He explains to them that righteousness comes by faith and not through the law. The message of salvation is for everyone, Jew and Greek alike. And that's where he comes to this term, beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, I'm well aware that sometimes we use biblical terminology, and I kind of ran a test this week, and I asked a few people. I said, I'm an unbeliever. Share the gospel with me right now. Most believers go, Jesus loves you. And that's where we start. And then we kind of like work our way through, and we're not thinking about the gospel all the time in a way that we are ready to share the gospel. So I want to go through here. I'm not talking down to anybody. I want to go through this biblical terminology quickly of what the gospel is. So gospel simply means, is the translation, it means good news. And now for good news, there has to be bad news. Because if there's no bad news, all news is probably good news. But there's bad news first, and the bad news is that our sin separates us from our Creator. Our sin separates us from our Creator. And because God is a just and righteous God, he will judge us for our sin and the lives that we lived. No one can escape this truth unless the good news. So the bad news, the good news, the good news is that God loves us. And he wants to restore a right relationship with him. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to earth to be a sacrifice. And Christ did just that. He lived a perfect life, and he died upon the cross and was a sacrifice for our sins. And then the Father raised the Son from the dead, giving him victory over sin and death, and has seated him at the right hand of him. So now he offers this sacrifice to all mankind. We need only to have faith in him. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Sin, sacrifice, restoration through faith. This good news transforms us. It transforms us through the Spirit that we are given when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that Spirit transforms us, producing qualities like peace, patience, self-control, love. And furthermore, we know that we have a promise of eternal life. Which, to be clear, that's not the eternal life. The heaven part is a benefit of the good news. It itself is not the fullness of the good news. The good news is being reconciled to God. And so when we believe, 2 Corinthians 5:17 takes place in us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That echoes the verses in John chapter 3 that say, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and says, you must be born again. The old has to pass away, and the new has to be born. So why are they beautiful feet? They're beautiful, these dirty, dusty, sandal sweaty feet are beautiful because of the message they bring. No longer a slave to the law, but saved by grace through faith in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So let's quickly finish with our Bible terminology and cover grace and faith. Grace is unmerited favor of God towards humanity, freely given, not earned, or based on your works. And in this case specifically, God shows us grace. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that God shows you grace every single day. And you've had grace upon grace in many areas of your life. But specifically when it comes to salvation, this grace is the blood of Jesus. The reconciling him back to God, the reconciling of us back to God through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That's the grace it's talking about here. And then our faith. Well, first, I was talking with some people this morning, you know, and, you know, over this last Easter, there was a lot of churches. I don't want to call them woke churches, but I'll call them these churches that, maybe I will, these woke churches. They put out a statement before Easter and said, this Easter, we're not going to talk about things that make people feel, icky or gross. We're not going to talk about death. We're not going to talk about blood. We're not going to mention sacrifices. There is no gospel without the cross. There is no gospel without sin. And so I look at, you know, in Acts chapters 2, 3, and 4, you know, Pentecost is happening. Peter is giving the first gospel message after Jesus has ascended from the Mount of Olives. Jesus is back in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Peter has a chance to share the first gospel message. And he starts by telling the people, you murdered Jesus. And it's like, whoa, like that's how we do it? You know, I almost can imagine Peter down at like Safeco Field, you know, whatever, you know, marching. You murdered Jesus, you know, like just screaming at the people. But the reality, so how that relates to us today, because, you know, the people that we're with today weren't the people that were yelling, crucify him. But everybody has to repent. Peter, over and over and over again, uses the word repent, repent, repent. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. I figure if it's good enough for Peter in the first gospel presentation, it's probably good enough for us today to share. And so, we do this by having faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is believing and following God. I will say this a million times. My understanding of faith is stepping into a promise. We can believe in our minds that Jesus Christ died and that he was the Savior for sins and that he sits at the right hand of the Father. We can believe. There's books in the Bible that are written to those who believe in the name of the Son of God so that they may know that they have eternal life. So they may believe in the name of the Son of God and not have eternal life because they don't have faith. Faith is believing the promises that Jesus has given and stepping into that promise, entering into a covenant relationship with God himself. And that's what he calls us to do. So we are saved by his unmerited favor and through faith in that unmerited favor that leads us to action. God desires people to have faith. That Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. It's more than the mind. It doesn't say with your brain you believe and are justified. Because that heart means so much more in Scripture. It's our innermost being that calls out to God. And that's the faith that saves. So God desires people to have faith. And so God doesn't just desire people to have faith and then he like takes his hands off and says, okay, good luck with your faith. Hope you find it. God's a wise God. God has a strategy. And God's strategy for bringing people to faith are human messengers. Me and you. It would have been easier if God used angels. You know, angels show up and scare people, right? And they scare people. And people, they stand and they look in awe at the angels. But the angels' lives have not been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your life and my life have been changed by the gospel of Jesus. So unlike earthly kings who send emissaries, God sends his family. First Jesus, and then you and me. And this divine appointment surpasses any earthly decree, for it carries the eternal weight of souls. So all through Scripture, we see this calling, and this calling is to be an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador, which is such a special appointment. Politically, we see ambassadors as those who go and they represent their country, they represent their nation to another nation, which is exactly what we are doing. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your citizenship is not of heaven, it is of earth, it is of heaven. And so we are bringing a heavenly message to an earthly people. We are representing God in that way. But there's probably no better place in Scripture than to see this calling than 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And this section of Scripture is probably one of the most succinct understandings of the gospel right here and what our role is in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So that is the gospel. That is, God the Father sends his Son to reconcile mankind to him. And now those who have been reconciled are giving the same ministry that Jesus had while he was on earth, to be a reconciler. So in verse 20 he says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are ambassadors with a message. Be reconciled to God. Is that your message? If you ask the people around you, what is my life message? Will they echo that you are calling people to be reconciled to God? Ambassadors with a message. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So he calls you chosen, royal, holy, a people for his own possession for a reason, not by accident, to proclaim the excellencies of him. And once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. If that doesn't hit you in your heart, if that doesn't take your breath away, you might be missing something. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are ambassadors chosen to proclaim his excellencies. We have been taken, we have been adopted, we were alone, we've been adopted, we were nothing, and now we are God's people. And so why would we hold on to this mercy and this gift that we have been given? Why would we hold on to it and keep it to ourselves? If you've received the mercy of Jesus, the grace of the sacrifice of the cross, and you have faith in Christ, we don't put that in our pockets and hold it and hide it away. We share it with the people around us. We become ambassadors for Jesus. Romans 1:16 gives us the ambassador's cry. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Those preachers on Easter and these woke churches afraid to share the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that Jesus Christ bled on a cross, and he had to do it because of the sin, our sin, that pierced his hands. They're ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Ambassadors with a message of reconciliation to God. Ambassadors proclaiming the truth of his excellencies. And ambassadors who are not ashamed of the gospel. Now I know some of you right now are saying, JC, I'm not a preacher. You're a preacher. Robert's a preacher. We got some other preachers here. But I'm not a preacher. I just do this. I just live my life before people in a way that glorifies God. I plant the seeds and I let other people water it. There's some truth there. But it's only a half truth. It's not all the way there. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, we all know this, this quote probably. He says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And that hits. It hits me because my life verse, my favorite verse in all of Scripture is Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. You know what it doesn't say there? It doesn't say, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they repent of their sins and follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. These people can see the good works and they can glorify the Father in heaven and still not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. What good is that? I want to see people know Jesus. See people humbled because of what Christ has done upon the cross. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So I want to be clear this morning. You have to say the words. You have to say the words. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. They don't declare the gospel of Jesus. The trees of the field clap their hands, but it's not Morse code. You have to share the words of truth. And you may still be thinking, I'm not the one to share the words. I'll live it. I'm not the one to carry the message. And then we look at the people who God has used to carry his message. The unlikely people. First, we look at Moses, right? Moses, a stuttering guy that is afraid to go in front and talk to people. And God says, look, I get it. You're not like the perfect speaker. I'll give you help, but you're going to carry my message. You're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to go to my people. You're going to rally the troops and you're going to part the Red Sea. Then you're going to go up on the mountain. You're going to be with me, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving all the words of God. You're going to go back down, and those knuckleheads are going to have built a golden calf and be worshiping Baal, and you are going to be my message to them. Over and over again, God uses someone who was not prepared. And then we look at guys like David. You know, Samuel goes to anoint the new king of Israel. God says, I'm done with Saul. Like, he done messed up too many times. I'm getting rid of him. So he says, go to Jesse's house and we're gonna anoint a new king. And he gets there and all the sons come before him and it's like, all right, God, this must be, oh, this guy, he's big and strong. It's gonna be this guy. You know, nope. He's got the oil. I got the oil ready. Let me anoint somebody. And he's like, well, that's it. What do you mean that's it? God said it was going to be a son of Jesse. And oh, well, there's one more, but it's the rinky-dinky little dude out with the sheep. Little David. Little David that couldn't even put on a suit of armor to go fight Goliath. But he took God's message to Goliath. Today the people will know there is a God in Israel. And so we do the same thing. We may feel like we don't have it, we don't have the ability, we're not ready, but today we take the message of Jesus and say, there is a God today that loves you and has died for your sins. Just like David before Goliath, just like David bringing the ark back, just like David over and over, his words to his wife when he dances in the streets from the joy of the Lord, I'll become even more undignified than this. We need to be willing to be undignified for the Lord. So Moses, David, and then we look at the disciples. A ragtag bunch, uneducated. You know, none of them were picked to be students of other rabbis. So they went to their family business. Fishing, farming, you know, tax collecting, you know, just the most odd group of guys. And he uses them to lay the foundation, the apostolic foundation for the church that we enjoy today. He took the message, he even made their mouths speak different languages to share the message at Pentecost. Over and over, he uses these ordinary men to do extraordinary things. And then today, the church. Oh man, that's where it comes to you and me. Moses, David, the disciples, and Kathy Beard. Right? The Sultan of Swap. Every one of you, I could look at each one of you and say your name and tell you it's you now. Like this is the end of the 4x4. Moses, David, the disciple, and then me and you. We got it. You know, we're tripping and falling all over ourselves. But it doesn't matter because we're going to finish the race. You ever seen those races where the people fall down, they get up, and sometimes they limp across the line? Whew. I praise Jesus if I could limp across this line. If I get to sprint across, praise Jesus. I might be on my hands and knees doing a bear crawl or something, but I want to get across the line. And so you may think that you are not capable of sharing the gospel of Jesus. You're wrong. You are more than capable. Because Jesus gives us this thing, you know, this other part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Paracleton, the Encourager, the Exhorter. He's inside you. And it's him who shares the gospel of truth with the lost. You are a vessel filled by the Spirit of God to do the work of Jesus. So how can we have beautiful feet? First, just like the students that were on the video, we have to lay a foundation. But here's the cool part, is we actually don't lay the foundation. We build upon the foundation. The foundation has been laid. The foundation is Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for the Spirit of God." Christ has to be the foundation. And when he is the foundation, when we build upon his words, you are building something worthy of listening to. We all know it took everything in me not to like mention, well, I'll mention it, but I'm not going to go into the story of like, you know, the three little pigs, right? Which is really, it's a reflection of what's being taught in Scripture. You know, so I'm not going to go into it. I grew up with too many sermons on the Velveteen Rabbit to start talking about this. So I'll mention from Matthew chapter 7. Where Jesus is telling the people what it means. He said, you know, some people will say, "Lord, Lord, you know, we followed you, we did this in your name, we did that in your name." And he's like, "Some of you, I'll say to you, like, get away from me, I never knew you." You follow, you build upon Christ, you don't build upon yourself. You build upon the foundation that Jesus has. We don't exalt ourselves, we exalt the name of Christ. And then he says, you know, the people who listen to my words and follow me and build upon my foundation are like the people who build their house upon the rock. The wind comes, the rain comes, the waters come, and it stands strong. And the people who don't, they build their houses on the sand. That's trusting in ourselves and not in Christ. So the last verse I want to share with you, well, that's not true. I'm going to share with you this verse. This is kind of an interesting verse out of 1 Corinthians. It says, according to the grace of God, this is 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 16. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another is building on it. Each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each man's work will become evident. For the day will show because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work in which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire, do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So Paul here in 1 Corinthians is talking to all believers. But he's saying, you believe in Jesus, you have faith. If you have faith in Christ, you have a foundation. He's saying the foundation in your faith is Christ Jesus, and now it's your life ahead of you to build upon that foundation. A lot of people, you know, well, first, the building materials mentioned here are in two categories. The first, gold, silver, precious stones. These are high quality and precious materials. The second, wood, hay, and straw, just as clearly represent inferior materials. Gold signifies the strongest and greatest faithfulness, and the straw signifies the opposite. See, the materials, they don't represent wealth, talents, or opportunity. You know, there's this little preacher guy that comes across my Instagram every once in a while, and I don't know if I could sit in a church where the preacher preached like this, but he goes, you know, I got the biggest house in all of Texas, or it might be North Carolina or something like that. It's this little guy, white hair, and he's like, and you know, the people, I got a gate. I don't let nobody into my gate. You know, he's talking about how he's got this big, huge house, and he's so proud of it, and it's like worth millions of dollars, and it's like, and he uses verses like this. I build with gold and precious stones and silver. I'm going to tell you what the fire is going to do to your thing that you're building. See, these materials, they don't represent that stuff. They also don't represent spiritual gifts, all of which are good and given to each believer as God sees fit. These materials represent a believer's response to what they have and how well they serve the Lord with what has been given them. So it doesn't matter what you have been given. It matters what you do with what you have been given. It's the way that they are building on the foundation of Christ. So my question for you is, how are you building on the foundation of Christ? Are you building with eternal significance, or are you building selfishly? We have been given quite a gift, this gift of eternal life, this gift of reconciliation with God, the gift of grace of the cross. Are you building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ towards seeing others know Christ in the way that you do? Or are you building selfishly? You know, we don't just turn into evangelists overnight. And to be clear, when we talk about evangelism and sharing the gospel, I recognize that like people like Billy Graham, Greg Laurie, these are generational preachers, generational evangelists. To speak to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people at one time and share the gospel, that takes some internal stuff going on to be able to do that. But actually, some of you might go, I'd rather get on a stage and preach to a faceless mass of 50,000 people than to share the gospel with one person. But it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens when our heart becomes God's heart. And we only do that through being in the Word, through being in prayer, through being in fellowship and service to God. As we dig deep and dive into God's Word, His heart becomes our heart. And then, when His heart becomes our heart, these verses become the cry of our heart. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways. Turn from your evil ways. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but that everyone come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that we may believe in him and have eternal life. For he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Is your heart to seek and save the lost? Is your heart aligned with God's heart? So I want to wrap up by giving you some practical steps. First one is, if you want to have beautiful feet, if you want to have beautiful feet, just to say this, I felt like it was impossible for me, being a new believer, 1997, to have beautiful feet. Coming off of living a life that was 100% JC focused, having beautiful feet seemed like the farthest thing that could ever be possible. So some practical steps. You may feel like you're in that place where like, hey, I just became a Christian. I know what I'm like. I know what I've been like. I know the sin that I struggle with. And that's the lies of the devil. When he says, your sin, you, I know what you did yesterday. You can't share the truth of Jesus today, you hypocrite. You got the grace of God. That's right. Get rid of it. You got the grace of God. The Holy Spirit inside me is the one who shares this word, right? That's what you say to him. It's not you, Satan. It's the Spirit. So some practical steps. Commit to daily praying for the opportunity to share the gospel. Engage in a local outreach or mission. Go with us next time we go on a mission trip. Step out of your comfort zone, like casting crowns, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's calling out your name. Educate yourself on how to further do evangelism. And now here's the one, you know, a lot of people will be like, look, I've been praying for God to give me opportunities to share the gospel. And they're just not coming up. Come on. So pick someone then. Okay? Like, put 10 names in a hat of people you know that you work with or your neighbors. Pull one out. Destined by God. This is the one. Okay? And then share the gospel with that person. And then guess what? They're going to give you one of two responses. Yes or no? When they say no, you keep sharing, but you know what else you do? All right, that's the next person. And you keep sharing, and you keep sharing. You know, narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. There's going to be a lot of no's. But when you get that yes, it changes your life, and it changes theirs. So, like the great philosopher and theologian, Phil Nike. Just do it. Share the gospel of Jesus. Just do it. Lord, we thank you. That you've called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Lord, we are just a people that were not a people. And now we are called God's people. How this has happened, it's just through the cross. So we're not ashamed of the cross. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Lord, we love the gospel and we love the truth. But I just pray that there's anyone here today that hearing the clearness of the gospel message, they've said to themselves that I have not stepped out in faith. I don't have faith. I believe, but I don't have faith. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. That they would say right now, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sin, and I follow you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you sit at the right hand of the Father, and I am going to follow you. You will be my Lord, and you will be my Savior, and I will follow you the rest of my life. Lord, I just pray that if anyone here today that has that, I pray that they would not be ashamed and they would proclaim it. And they would share with us. They would share with their friends that they have made a decision today to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. That today is the beginning of the rest of their life. Lord, I pray that you would give a heart and a passion for the people in our congregation to share the truth of Jesus. Lord, you sent Christ to reconcile us to you. Father, you sent your Son to die for us, and now we are given the message of reconciliation. Lord, help us to share this message of reconciliation with a reckless abandon. Not afraid of what people will think or say, but knowing that we are being obedient to the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. Lord, help us to lean on the Spirit, to lean on the truth, to lean on your word. Help us to have a passion for your name and for your word. Help us to dig deep into the scriptures so that we are overwhelmed and overflowing with the word of God. Lord, it's through you and you alone that miracles happen. We pray that you would work a miracle in the hearts and lives of our friends, our coworkers, our family members. We pray that you would bring those around us, Lord, to salvation in Christ. It's overwhelming, God, that you use us in your sovereign plan for salvation. But we thank you, God, that we get to be a part of it. Help us to have humble hearts and humble spirits as we share the truth, knowing that nothing that we have is from us, but it is all from you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We offer everything in our hearts to you today. Ambassadors of Christ, our one singular calling Amen.